for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 4th, 1994. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Leroy of Toronto, Canada, is the minister of the evening.
God spoke to my heart the change, the message. One thing I like about my Heavenly Father is that He, when He says to you to do something and you say, "Yes, Lord," then He confirms it. And I was looking for one word. I was looking for the word Abraham. And as Glenn was praying, he said, "The blessing of Abraham." I can't explain to you what I feel. I would like to share with you the quickening power that flows through my body. It's real.
Hallelujah.
It brings a rest and a deep joy. Where you want to just shut out the world and walk with your Father in total communion. It's taking me, I've been 38, 39 years in ministry. And then when God, through divine intervention, ministered to me 19 years ago and brought me into deliverance just through a sovereign work. And how that in the 19 years God has led me through the Word. Just a few months ago, something happened. I am not sure what happened, but I know that what I felt there, back there, I'm feeling now.
Hallelujah.
And it's based in the Word, not just experience. And I want to share with you tonight, as God would lead, that He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to be continually being filled with the Spirit. And so many times I was not conscious or not sure how I could do that. When the experience came a few years ago, and I was sharing with my brother, Bill, when God met me, He was doing such a mighty work. And my father-in-law, who is 87, who was in the Lateran Revival in Detroit. He was coming over to my apartment with his wife. And I was sharing what God was doing. And the day that he came in, one of the days, this specific day, God had just delivered me from a spirit. And when I knelt down to pray, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Now thou art clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." And I wasn't sure where it was. I had to get my concordance and check it out, and it was John 15:3. Suddenly there was a knock at the door, and my father-in-law walked in with his wife, my wife's mother and dad. She was at work, and I was there, and my father-in-law, when I began to share, because I just felt cleansed, I just felt like a new person. And so he began to pray. He's a praying man. He's had revival. Boy preacher at 15. And he just began to move into the throne room of grace. And I knew in my spirit that this man was touching the throne room. But God had done something in me. And suddenly in that prayer, he made a statement. Because they'd gone through depression. My mother-in-law had been through living hell physically. And all the things that came to the pastor's wife. And when he walked into this move of God in Detroit, she resisted. When God was dealing with me and my experience the 19 years ago, my wife was encouraging me. And so my father-in-law began to pray, and he said, "I thank God that Ivy," that was his wife, "or that Ruth is not like Ivy, her mother." And the moment he said it, suddenly out of my being, I looked down and there was a vision and Christ came forth. And all over me I felt hot liquid oil. And I turned to my father-in-law and I said, "My son, wouldst thou bring a root of bitterness in your prayer to the throne of grace?" And suddenly he stopped praying and he looked at me and said, "My God, I thought I was free of that." And I laid hands on my father-in-law at that time, who was around 78 years of age. And this man brought up this spirit of bitterness that had been deep in his belly. There are two realms that you and I can either walk in as Christians. One is walking in the realm of the Spirit. We can call ourselves spiritual Christians. Or we can walk in the natural, and that means walking in the flesh. And so we read in Romans 8, and I'll just read these scriptures and take you over to Genesis 12, because this is we're going to go on a little trip in Genesis 12. But in Romans 8, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, that's the mind of the flesh, the soulish area, but after the Spirit. And God calls people who are double-minded, two-souled. They walk after the flesh, they walk after the Spirit. They're two-souled, they're unstable. And he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh," because the soul that is being redeemed now, being saved now, through the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost, and this is why God placed His kingdom here. He has your spirit, and now He has the kingdom in your temple, or His temple, your body, and the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, begins to investigate the soul. And all those things that take place against you that you think are so negative are nothing more than positive blessings from God to bring you up into that realm of the Spirit of God. And he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly minded or carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And that's what I sense. When I get up in the morning, I got to bed at, 1:30, laid down. God woke me at 4:30 or 5. And I had such communion. Just laying there and scriptures were coming and I would quote a scripture and the Holy Ghost would give me a scripture. And I had life, the abundant life. And with it comes peace. In Romans 8:28, he says, "And we know that all things..." Shall I read it again? "And we know..." How many know that all things, not some things, all things work together for good to them that love God? Do you love God?
Yes.
Is His kingdom in your vessel?
Yes.
You're born again. Now He wants to become Lord and for you to possess your soul. And you have to, when these things come against you, negative things or positive, whatever, that everything that happens, everything, you know that God is doing it for your good. But I want you to turn now to Genesis 12. Because we're going to see two men, both, we'll call them both Christians, both reached by God, who took a journey together. One man had a heart after God. The other man, I guess, had his heart after God, but he had reservations in his life as to how much he wanted God to take over as he walked this Christian walk. That's the decision you have to make. That's the choice that you make when you leave here. As we shared the other night, you're going to go back into stark, cold, naked reality. You're going to leave the presence of God, not leave the presence of God in your life, but the atmosphere of the Shekinah glory that you and I feel as the corporate body comes together and ministers together unto Him and He ministers unto us. Where everything is positive and where we just love what God's doing. We have to get out into the system again. Get away from this atmosphere that we feel corporately. And so we find here in the scriptures that Mr. Lot paid a tremendous price. And maybe this is prophetic in the sense that I believe God is giving to you a warning tonight. I believe God is warning people here tonight that when you leave, you have a war to fight. The atmosphere, the miasma, the spiritual pollution, the miasma of this atmosphere, demon power, is going to war against your soul. There are going to be crises in your life that you're going to have to either accept and say, God's permitted it, God's allowed it, and He's dropped the hedge. Or you're going to rebel within the innermost part of your being, in your soul, and the rebellion and the anger and those things will rise up and cause you to lose what God's trying to teach you in the Spirit. And Lot had a terrible time. I'll prove to you, if we get that far tonight, that Lot not only lost his wife, but he lost some children. He lost some daughters that were left in Sodom. And Mrs. Lot, because of the connection that she and her husband had as they dwelled in Sodom, whether it was by business or through marriage, but because of those soul-tying connections, Mrs. Lot, who was tied in a soulish way to her children, turned and looked back against the commandment of God, and she perished. In Genesis chapter 12, we read in verse 1 how the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Notice, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. It's not easy when God places His hand on you and chooses you to move out into a realm that you know nothing about. When you have to totally abandon yourself in faith to a God that you can't see. And yet you know that there are times that you sense His presence because within you is His kingdom. And you know that if you're going to go on with God and you're going to have God meet you, that you have to submit to the kingdom and His lordship, because where the kingdom is, the King is. And so you must, as He dictates the policy, obey the Spirit. And whatever it is the Spirit of God speaks to you to do, you must do it. And so Abram, he left. And in that process, and too, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. God gives him a word. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And somewhere in your life and mine, God has wonderfully spoken to us through the Spirit that He wants to bring Isaac forth from our being. He wants to bring forth Jesus Christ in all of His glory. He wants to develop us into the very image and character of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a promise from the Word of God. And so you and I, as we begin to move out, want it yesterday. We don't want to take the trip into the realm of God. We don't want to take those steps of faith as Abram did. We wanted to have it start today and instantaneously be fulfilled tomorrow. We don't want to feel any crisis in our life. We don't want to feel the negative things that come against us. We don't want to have the cares of the world as they come against us. But all the time, God's proving us and trying our faith to see if it's genuine. Amen. To see if that revelation that you and I have received is based in Him and on His Word, and that you and I can move in the problems that God allows with a sweet spirit and possess our soul. Redeem it. Get it back. Win it. So that you and I, whatever the crisis might be, will be so disciplined. And that's what the word sound mind is. It's a disciplined mind. And that disciplined mind comes from a sound, disciplined soul. And the sound, disciplined soul comes from the energizing power of the kingdom of God within us. And so we find, He said, I'll bless them that bless thee. Oh, I like that, Lord. You bless those that bless me, but kill them off. And curse me. Knock them off. And He said, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. For a moment, slip with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll try to go as the Holy Ghost leads us tonight. In Hebrews 11, we read in verse 8, by faith, where'd this man get the faith? God had spoken to him a rhema. God had spoken the word, and it had penetrated into his life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the harema of God. For man shall not live by bread alone, but live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit, kingdom in us, takes the Logos of God and breathes into us an harema, and that's faith. For the sword of the Spirit is the harema of God. Because that sword of the Spirit, he takes this Logos and he penetrates to the very inner recesses of our soul. And we find that through this word, faith came to Abraham. And it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed.
Amen.
Hello.
Wow.
Obeyed.
Yeah.
Obeyed.
Amen.
Obeyed.
Amen.
But the Antichrist spirit and the body of sin, not the flesh I'm talking about, but this body of sin that works in the fleshly members rises up against the kingdom in there. And it comes out of the soul that has been taken over by demon power, and God wants you to win it back. God wants you to possess it. And so we find that he obeyed and he went out and he didn't know where he was going. He had no idea the path. He just knew that God was going to lead him. I think of a man called Joseph. When he ended up in Egypt and he stood up before his brethren, it's like when you hear people testify. I used to hear them at Full Gospel, international directors, and how they said that they were millionaires and how God did this and God did that. But you see, they never told you the journey they took to get there. Never told you that. God didn't show Abraham the journey he was to take. Maybe if he had, he'd had second thoughts. I think Joseph would have had second thoughts. He had the vision. He had the dreams. He had all of those things where people were going to bow down to him. But he ended up in prison. He ended up in a pit. He ended up being sold by his brethren. And as you go down his life, you'll see it says, and God was with him.
Right.
Yeah. Mamma mia. You're with me, Lord? I'm with you, Joseph. I've been in prison over 2 years or more, Lord. I'm with you, Joseph. But God was working on his soul. God was working to clean it out. And so we find here, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. That's what we're doing. We're sojourning in this land of promise by faith. We are superimposing ourselves into the kingdom realm of God and taking from it the fruit of the land. We're bringing it back and we're bringing it into our own life. We're projecting ourselves out into that realm of God by faith, and we see it's a good land. And Abram, he sojourned there. In the land of promises in a strange country. Certainly it was strange. Walking in heavenly places is a strange place to walk. But that's where God has raised me, far above all principalities and powers. Why did he raise me up there? Because if I'm up there, they're below me, and I can place my foot on the neck of Satan's power. And any circumstance that's negative, anything that causes stress, anything that causes worry and anxiety, I have the authority because my position and my place is in that realm. And I look down upon the crises. I look down upon the problems because I've been raised up by faith.
Amen.
Into that place in God.
Amen.
Into that place in God. And he says he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles of Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose architect and planner is God. Lord, doesn't matter what the crises are. We can say it tonight. It's easy when we're moving up into the realm and into the presence of God. Oh, Lord, it's wonderful. Oh, Lord, I'm thrilled with your power. I'm thrilled with your presence. When God met me in that experience, One morning I was kneeling. He'd wakened me at 4:30, and I'd gone out into the living room, and I knelt down beside the couch, and I said, "Good morning, Father." He said, "Good morning, son." And I said, "Lord, I just want to thank you that I know you in the power of your resurrection." And suddenly the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, "And in the fellowship of my suffering." And as I knelt there, fear gripped the inner recesses of my soul. And I coughed out and I said, "Lord, I don't really understand what you're saying, but I knew." And suddenly, it was like the anointing of the Lord Jesus, that covering lifted. And if there had been a side door, it was like Jesus Christ lifted his covering and went into the side door and shut the door. And there I was, kneeling at 5 or a little after 5 in the morning. Suddenly I felt naked. And I read the Bible and it was just words. They were just words. So I thought, well, I can't get anything out of that. So I began to praise him and speak in tongues. And it was tingling brass and sounding cymbals. And I wrestled with it. I sat on the couch. I tried to read. Then I finally got down on my knees. And I said, "Father, forgive me, forgive me." And the Holy Ghost came back, placed himself over my life, and said to me, "You can trust me in the power of my resurrection, but you were saying you couldn't trust me in the fellowship of my suffering." And I guess if I had known what was coming, just like if you know what's coming, you kind of get a little nervous. And as my father-in-law, we began to seek the Lord as the days were going on, and God was moving, and the devil was fighting, but God was moving, and my daughter was, we had sent her to Springfield, to Missouri, to Evangel College, and had driven her there, and we were home, and God had met me after this. And all of a sudden, one day in prayer, I had this burden for my daughter and began to seek God, not understanding. And when the first semester was finished and we flew her home, we went to meet her, and she got off the plane at the airport. I looked at her and I turned to my wife and said, "That's not my daughter. There had been such a radical change. I can't go through everything that took place, but I prayed for her that Christmas time and didn't understand. I'd just been brought into deliverance. I didn't know people could have 20, 30 demon spirits in their soul. I had no idea. I just prayed for a couple of areas. She went back to the college. The next semester they had a book out, Christians Can't Have Spirits, and she went to hell in her walk with God. When she came back, we were pastoring and preaching deliverance, and one night God in his mercy kept me busy at the church with my wife. And when we walked home, went into the house, there was a little white envelope on the door. Bedroom door was shut. And I said to my wife, "Well, we'll read the note and then we'll go see what she wants in the morning. Don't wake her up." When my wife got to the bedroom, she looked at the note, read it, and fell to the floor, turned white, and said, "My God, why me?" And I said, "Don't ever say that again in this home." And I took the note, and then I rushed down to my daughter's bedroom, and I opened the door, and there wasn't anything there. The furniture gone, my daughter was gone, and my wife and I went through living hell for a number of years. You see, God didn't tell me that. But through it all, God was working in my soul. God was going to see if that root of bitterness the enemy tried to put on me would come in. And many twice in one day, as I found out that my daughter was living common law relationship, and my wife asked her on the phone twice that day, the first time, as I heard my wife ask and I heard the answer come and my wife catch her breath, I looked up and suddenly this huge dark cloud was coming down towards me. And I knew that if that cloud reached me, that I was going insane. So I called my wife and she laid hands on me. And as she laid hands on me, suddenly deep within me, tongues began to flow up and flow up. And suddenly they burst from my mouth, this language that God was speaking through the Spirit, and that black cloud left. I am telling you, if you live in this realm and you trust God in the kingdom that you have within you, things can be so dark and desperate and discouraging, but you still walk with God. Because the morning came when, as I talked to my father, he took me down and he said, "Do you love me more than your wife?" I said, "No, Lord." "Do you love me more than you love your material things?" And I said, "No, Lord." And God went down every area of my life so that the commitment that I was to make was seeking Him first, and all the other things would be taken care of. And so in Genesis, as he goes out with Sarah, Abraham, it says, took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son, in verse 5 of Genesis 12, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. In verse 6, it says, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem. That means that he traveled spiritually in the things of God and got to the place between the shoulders that carry the burdens that we have. That's what Sichem means. It means between the shoulders, the place of burden. And as you and I travel in this spiritual realm and walk in the Spirit, even though our bodies are here in flesh, we mortify the members thereof, because if we mortify those members or put them to death, what we are doing is putting to death that body of sin that causes our flesh members to sin. And so Abraham, as he's walking here, he lands into this place in God, and he knows that God is pretty good shoulders, and he can carry the burdens that he's going to have. And it says, under the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh, and the word Moreh means ensnared. And right under that it says, and the Canaanite was then in the land. You see, when you get into moving into the realm of the Spirit and into this promised land and into this heavenly place in God, you're going to meet the Canaanites. You're going to meet the Perizzites. You're going to meet the Girgashites. You're going to meet all of the ites, whatever ites there are, Billyites or Maryites or whatever ites, but they're going to be met, and you're going to find out that, hey, I need God's burden shoulders. I need God's shoulder so I can place my burden on Him, because, hey, I'm under demon attack. I'm under really heavy pressure. The lusts of the flesh are warring against my soul. So I need to know where God is and how to reach Him. And so we find here that the Lord appeared unto Abram in a wonderful thing. And He says, unto thy seed. Once again, He confirms it. How many times has God confirmed to you, you're walking the right way? You're doing the right thing. How many times have you tried to get here and the devil's fought you? How many times have you gone from here and the devil's fought you? And you'll get out of here and people will say you're a fanatic and you are really in some kind of a cult, and on it goes. Who do you think is running the show? God's running the show, and He's testing through all of these that come against you in principality warfare just to see how sterling and what kind of faith you have when the trials hit. That's what He's testing you for. And the Lord appears unto Abram, and He said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. What was he doing? Well, when you build an altar, what you really do is you're slaughtering flesh. And when you meet God, you'll slaughter some flesh because He'll cut it away. You become the offering. You become the sacrifice. Therefore, in 12:1 of Romans, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, what? A living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. What are you doing? You're laying yourself down on the altar. Voluntarily. Did you hear me? Voluntarily. And when the old problems come, well, thank God for the horns of the altar, because you can grip those horns. And when the devil's really working on your life, and God's allowing it, because when you go up the stairs to the brazen altar, the priest's belly and the sacrifice met together. And there was enough room between the top and the bottom for the wind to blow around that sacrifice to burn up all those things that are in the flesh. And while that's happening, if you were in the crisis I was in, and everybody has crises of some kind, you're holding on to the horns of the altar and saying, God, oh God, oh God, give me strength, Lord. Let your kingdom manifest, Lord. Let your power flow, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost speak to me, Lord. And He cuts and He slices. And then He lets you off. And He says, you pass the test. You say, I'm home free. You don't hear anything. I'm home free, Lord! Lord! Been there. Notice. Then it says in 8, and you remove from thence unto a mountain on the east, because once you slaughter flesh, you move into strength. And he moved into Bethel. He moved into Bethel, it says, and pitched his tent. He pitched his tent in the house of God, because now he slaughtered some flesh at the altar, and he has strength, because once demon power goes, you feel like a new man.
Hey.
When it left me, I felt it leave. Nobody laid hands on me. The Holy Ghost did the work. I felt it come out. I went into the bathroom, threw it up, and there was a vacant space there. And suddenly I felt it fill up, literally felt that hole fill up with God's presence. When you give place to the devil, and he says it in Ephesians, give no place to the devil. When you give place to the devil, that word place brings out the thought of a subdivision. Your soul becomes a subdivision. And he, whatever that is, anger, wrath, lust, fornication, whatever it might be, he puts a tent there. When you yield your members to unrighteousness, he comes in and he builds a house. His house. And as though there are, these are the houses that God wants to destroy. And as he investigates, as it says in Hebrews, there's no creature that is not naked and open before him with whom we have to deal. The investigation of the heart is done by the Holy Ghost, and he says, hey, I see something in that individual. So what I'll do, I'll bring something along to act as a catalyst. And when they meet that catalyst, whatever it is, they're going to have something rise up from their soul. And when it rises up, they're going to have an attitudinal response. Now, you and I know that, hey, we have kingdoms in here. One's God's kingdom, and one's the kingdom of the devil that has no authority because God is stronger. But we also know that this kingdom will manifest anger. That's a spirit.
Yes.
And in this kingdom, he has all kinds of spirits, and they're all there, and all the circumstances that come to work on our soul, suddenly out of that kingdom comes whatever it is. Well, I can tell the difference because I know what comes from God's kingdom. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance, all of these things. So that's how we can discern out of the abundance of the heart. I've never seen a devil. I don't want to see a demon. And if some demon speaks back, I tell them to shut its mouth because they don't tell the truth anyway. And so whatever they tell me, I just say, hey, shut up. Come out in the name of Jesus, because they'll keep you. They'll wear out the saints of the Most High God. And they'll tell you story upon story. I remember when before I ever got into this ministry, the right way, I was practicing casting spirits out of the unsaved. And I remember God led me to one down in Washington, D.C., and I had overheard a conversation. This lady was going to do something with her daughter, so I found out. I went down. And when I said, how many spirits are in there? The devil said, 1,200 or 1,300. Oh, man. I didn't have that kind of time. And I prayed a whole day. A whole day. And it would go from 1,200 to 1,000 to 1,300 to 1,400. You know, I'm asking the devil how many's there. He's not going to tell me the truth. You take the authority. You don't mess with him. You don't want him to demonstrate. You want him to tell you lies. You just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, out. Out now. Take your trip. Go to the dry places. Wherever it is you want to walk, but get out of this house. Get out of this house. We find here that in verse 9, and here again when he meets God in 8, there he builds another altar unto the Lord, calls upon the name of the Lord, and slaughters a little more flesh. And it says, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the what? South. I love the south. Warm winds, sunshine, and if there's storm, it's usually warm rain. Man, it's a real environment. South winds are always the best because they're really not coming from the north. You see? They're coming from the south. So I say, hey! I really have it made. I slaughtered a little more flesh, and Man, I'm in a real warm situation. My state is just wonderful. Careful. Notice. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south, and notice, there was a famine in the land. Things get too easy. No pressure. South winds. Barbecues. And there comes a famine. You see, sometimes it takes these trials to press us in and move us in to God. Because sometimes we forget who's running the show. And so we find here it came to pass that in this famine in the land, and Abram went down where? Oh my God, I thought he was coming out of there. How many times you been in a crisis? Famine, huh? This thing's no good, man. I was better off in Egypt. I'm better off. Why? Look at things that are happening, and I don't feel God, and I'm in a dry church, and I feel like a dried up old stick, and there's a famine in my land. And you just keep going down. You arrive in Egypt to sojourn there for a while. Let me tell you something. If you think it's better there, really read here. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter it, he says unto Sarah, now the devil's got him off the territory, you know. Get you out from under the covering. Dangles the bait. Get you out there. Got the worm on the hook. You have to come out of the covering, just like when you go fishing. And then you put the bait there, and that bass, wherever it is, you just dangle that little piece of meat or whatever it is, and they take the bait. And now the enemy had him on his ground. So what's the devil do? He comes along and he puts fear in him. Puts fear. He looks at his wife and says, man, I didn't know you were that beautiful. You are some fine looking woman. And you're my wife. And I'm not running now with Christians. I'm in a world of trouble. I'm here in Egypt. So we got to cover the ground here. We better cover our tracks. We won't tell a lie. We'll tell a half a lie. We won't tell the whole truth because, hey, if we tell the whole truth, I'm going to die. Now, do you really love me, dear? Lie for me. Hear me. You ever asked your wife to lie for you? Ever got to the place where it had fear of confrontation? You didn't want to meet somebody, a bill collector or whomever, an enemy, neighbors? Tell them I'm not home. Hear me. The Spirit of God is so sensitive that you can grieve Him. God is calling a people to be saints. I said saints. Holy ones.
Yes.
Holy ones. That's what saints mean. Holy ones. Called to be saints. But you see, this system has gotten so corrupted and so perverted that we call the truth error and error truth. We do half lies and we exaggerate and we think that we can get off with these things because, hey, I'm still being blessed. If you're going to walk in this realm of God, if you're going to mount up with wings of an eagle, if you're going to get up every day and commit your spirit, soul, and body to the Lord Jesus who runs the kingdom, so you can feel the surging power of His Spirit from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you can't have a half a lie. It's got to be the pure, unadulterated truth. So He says, you're a fair woman. Therefore shall it come to pass when the Egyptians shall see that they shall say thy wife. And you know all what goes on here, and God had to trouble this unsaved man. Can you imagine? God loved this man Abram so much that He even brought trouble to the home, and it wasn't the unsaved man's fault at all. But God had His hand on this man. And I'm telling you, when God has His hand on you, there's nothing that can form a weapon against you. Because anything that comes against you is because God has dropped the hedge and to get to you so that you'll get cleaned up in your soul and you'll walk with Him in the Spirit. He can be trusted, for He is faithful. I said, God is faithful. So we find out in chapter 13, Abram went, what? Up, out of Egypt, thank God. It took this crisis with an unsaved man in an unsaved nation to bring this man to reality. That he was serving God. God was leading him. God wanted to become Lord of his life. And he had to walk with God. And it says here, and all that he had, and Lot went, oh, there's Lot. And Lot went with him, into the south. South winds again. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. There's nothing wrong to be rich. Nothing wrong. But it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And I said all evil, the love of money. God wants to make people millionaires. I believe that. God wants to give the wealth of the heathen to God's people, but he cannot do it because he cannot trust them. That's why. And we find here that this man was rich. And he went on his journeys from the south even to where? To Bethel, the house of God. Went back to the place, to the house of God, that he says here, unto the place where his tent, his vessel, his life, had been at the beginning. But you see, he'd been sidetracked. Now he's back to where he was at the beginning, between Bethel, the house of God, and this ruin, Hai, which means ruin. So he's halfway between them both. Kind of a two-souled individual at this moment. Double-minded, but he's there. And then under the four, verse 4, under the place of the altar. Oh man, I wish they'd get the altar out. Because every time you meet the altar, you meet the cutting of the flesh, and it hurts. It hurts. And so under the place at the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham, what does he do? He calls on the name of the Lord. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I shouldn't have lied. I shouldn't have had that lukewarm experience. But you know there was a famine. It wasn't me, Lord. It was the church. It wasn't me, Lord. It was the pastor. Well, no, it was my husband. Can't live with him anymore. Notice, under the place, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And notice verse 5, and Lot also went with Abram, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. I know this, that when you're a Christian, and you serve God, and you walk in the Spirit, wherever you work, God blesses those around you because you're there. I've seen it happen. I had nothing. I'm serious. I was in an apartment up until I was 50. And when God met me in deliverance, and that was 19 years ago, I thought, man, with what God's doing and this experience, and all, brother, I'm going to run around the world and I'll be Mr. Evangelist. Hallelujah to Jesus. I was going to save the world from demon power. But the Lord said, hey, there's a dung gate in the temple. And what I've called you to do is shovel it out. And I understand now the smell's so bad nobody likes to do it. So we find here in 6 of chapter 13, the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that awful that here you have two Christians that can't dwell together? No, it's not awful. It's not awful. If one is moving in the realm of the Spirit and the other is living in the earthly dwelling place, naturally, but born again, one has revelation looking for the city whose builder and maker is God, and the other doesn't have the revelation, then it's time they parted company. Time. And so we find here, it says the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. But notice the cause in verse 7. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. He's working in their soul, causing strife. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. If you haven't learned that in deliverance, you haven't learned anything. Yeah, but you don't know what my wife's like. I don't really care. Because she's not mine. God gave you the cross to bear, not me. Hey, works both ways. Works both ways. Some husbands are beasts. Hey. Yeah, but you know what my husband's like? Hey, you know what my wife's like? And on they go. Wasn't like that 20 years ago, was it? You're praying at the altar, God, I'm 20, send me a husband, Lord! The pastors are trying to say, hey, hold on, let God bring you together. Amen.
Oh, I gotta have a man. I'll be an old maid. 20 years later, God kill him. Get rid of him, Lord. You've been there, huh? Oh, man, do we need deliverance in this place, brother. Woo! In our fellowship, we have a lot of young marrieds. They pray for children. I don't preach it. I say, hey, don't have any kids. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. You're better not to have children. But the rebellion spirit he talked about is there. So they have kids. Then you only see them on Sunday morning. Now they pray, God bless me with children. God gives them children. We dedicate them. And then you don't see them. God made a mistake. And then when they get into high school and university, we have students that are all over in university and they, Pastor, you don't understand. I have to study.
Hey, one night a week, God wants you here. He'll help you with your studies, but seek you first the kingdom. Come on.
You want an education? You want a degree? Nothing wrong with that.
But it still has to be kept subservient to God's priorities.
And so we find here that Abram said unto Lot, let there... This is the difference between one who walks in the realm of the Spirit and one who walks fleshly. It says here, in verse 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife.
Let there be no strife.
Between, he said, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. I have brethren out there. They call me a demon chaser. I don't believe in rapture, so they don't fellowship me. And I have fellowship with my father and with the people of our fellowship and with other pastors who believe the same thing as they do here. And I thank God he brought me here. I've been trying to get here for a number of years. And then all of a sudden God gives me truth and says, hey, go to Lake Hamilton. And when I get here, I have brothers that are ministering the same thing.
It brings confirmation to my spirit. And then I can move into the fellowship and say, hey, this is beautiful. And go back refreshed. Well, go back to stark reality. Let's put it that way.
Abram says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate yourself.
Hear me. Notice what he says.
He doesn't say, hey, out you go.
No, he says, separate yourself.
Right. You don't have to separate yourself. They will separate from you.
Right.
They will. Separate, he says. Separate yourself. Notice, the whole land's before us. Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. And then he said, if you want the left, I'll take the right. If you want the right, I'll take the left. Doesn't matter to me. You just do your thing.
Because I love you. I love you.
I don't want to dirty up my soul. I don't want to hinder my walk with God. I don't want to clutter up my mind with all the hostility and the strife. Hey, Lot, take what you want. And Lot lifted up his eyes. I don't know where he had them before. And it says he beheld all the plain of Jordan. Notice, God, listen, the devil will make the natural walk seem beautiful. Beautiful. He'll make it look like, hey, I'm really, God's blessing me and things are going fine. Oh no, God's really not blessing. The devil's got you deceived. He's blinded your mind. You're in a state of delusion. You're living in a way that, hey, you're living in this state of delusion. And we find here that Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan. In verse 10, it was well watered everywhere.
But notice a little phrase in there.
Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto a lesser place. Zoar.
Where you want to walk?
Want to live up there in the realm of God and feel this life, this abundant life, and the rivers of living water flowing up out of your innermost being? Or do you want to walk on a natural plane? And someone asked me, I have a
a businessman in the church, and one individual, he wants to see me. And I know because he's starting a new business, and I'm not sure just what he wants. And so I said, Lord, what am I going to say to him? When he asked me, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you're a soldier. Don't concern yourself with the affairs of this life. And that's the answer I'll give him. And so we find here, then Lot, in verse 11, then what? Lot what? Who did it? Lot chose him, all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. But notice in verse 12, Abram dwelled in where? The land of Canaan. And where did Lot dwell? He dwelled in the cities of the plain. Different levels. One moving in the realm of the Spirit, the other allowing his eyes to feast on all the natural things of this world. Why? Because the lust of the eyes, those eyes are in the soul. And the lust of those eyes came out through his eyes, and he saw all those things, and he said, hey, that's what I want. I want to be businessman. I don't want God to run my business. I want to do the choosing. I want to do the direction. I'm not going to submit to the kingdom. I'm not going to submit to his lordship. I'm going to walk my walk. And today in our churches we have millions of Pentecostals who have the experience of receiving the kingdom, and they belong to the five foolish. They are stupid. All the cosmetic styling. That's what they are. They do. They fix themselves up, and they get in there and they raise their hand. And they go through all the mental gymnastics of religiosity and Pentecostalism and the traditionals. All the traditionalism and all of this. And people look at the outside and, man, they just look great. God's not working. He's working in here. This is where he's working. And so we find, I'll have to hurry. I got so much I go to tomorrow. It says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent. Where? He wasn't there yet. You see, he had seen it, so now he pitches his tent a little closer to it. And all the time, I am sure God is dealing with his soul. God's speaking to him. God's talking to him. Because we read in 1 Peter that Lot was a righteous, Lot vexed his righteous soul. He vexed it because he got into the place where he's pitching his tent toward it now. Now notice, it says, pitched his tent toward Sodom, but look what verse 13 says. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And this Christian, this man of God, is heading straight into it. You need to disassociate from some of these worldly things that are taking place. Separate yourself. Our brother brought out, I trust you get the tape that preached this morning. Because that was God speaking by the Spirit to your heart and mind. That was life. It was life. And I'm telling you that there are things that are taking place in this system, and they're sucking in the church. They're bringing in the families. And it's so subtle. And people are living in denial. And they're not sure what's taking place. The only way you and I are going to know what's of God and what isn't of God is to walk in that realm, led by the Spirit. Trust the Holy Ghost. I now understand in these 19 years why God would not allow me to do certain things and go certain places. And my father-in-law, who loves the Lord, would say to me, he said, there's something wrong with you. You don't want to fellowship anybody. I said, I can't. I can't. And I'm lonely, but I can't. People misunderstand it. But it's not that. It's not that you don't love them. It's not that you don't want to associate. God has a rein on you. And he's trying to do something inside so that the day comes that you can walk into the presence of his Spirit and begin to walk in his kingdom and feel the life of God. There's nothing that compares with this kind of life. It's a life that bubbles up and it just rushes through your being. There's no price that you can put on it. And all the misunderstandings are all part of what God allows to bring you closer to himself. And we find here that verse 14 in the Lord, isn't this something? Now they're separated. Suddenly the Lord comes on the scene. He waits to see you before what kind of reaction you're going to have when the crisis comes. He's going to wait to see whether your attitudinal response is what it should be with the kingdom in you of God, or whether the attitudinal response is out of the devil with the works that he has in there. And so when Abram passed the test, it said, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, hey, Abe, lift up now your eyes, because Abram was hurting. This was a friend, this was a relative, and God had allowed him to be cut off. You'll lose your folks, you'll lose your friends, those that you think that God has brought you into union with and bought the bond there. God will cut it, because what he really wants is to bring you into himself. So he can have fellowship with you, so that you can speak to him and he can speak back, so that you can have this relationship. And it's such a relationship. I can't explain to you what it is, but it's real. And we find that he lifts up, he says, lift up your eyes and look from the place. Notice, look from the place. Where was he? Standing in God. This place that he had in the realm of the Spirit. He says, he looked from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it. And to thy seed forever. When he comes, when that parousia, the coming of the Lord, when he makes his appearing, and you and I make our appearing with him, we're going to appear in character. And if we pass the test, he's going to take us into an embrace. The Bible says paralambano, into union, into union. He's going to shut the door and we're going to move into the realm of the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Because we've been walking in the realm of his Spirit, and now he says, you're the five wise. I'm bringing you in. And the others, he said, I'll forsake, I'll abandon. We'll deal with them later. I was going to minister on this and God just did not allow me to do it. But he says, for all the land is yours, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it. And when you move up into this realm, you begin to walk into the breadth and the length and the depth and the width of the love of God. And it's infinity. You're in something that is, but it's his love. And it just embraces you and you're caught up into the cloud of God's glory. And there you begin to move and walk in the realm of the Spirit of God. And the anointing begins to flow. And your body begins to get quickened. And suddenly God begins to speak to you and the scriptures come alive. And you find that, hey, this fruit of the land where I'm walking is better than that earthbound group. Better. Hallelujah. He says, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Vigor. Mamre means vigor. And there it says, which is in Hebron, and Hebron means the seat of association. So now what God has done, he's brought him into a seat of association, and there he comes into an association with God, and his whole life is quickened with the strengthening power of God's Spirit.
Yes.
You want strength? You want to be quickened and let God work with you in your soul. And when God works with your soul, you'll find that you'll start to receive this quickening. I believe that you can walk in the Spirit every day. I believe you keep being filled with the Spirit. You mortify the members of your body. Your members are here on earth. You mortify them because you're dealing with your soul. And as you overcome those things in your soul, when the negative things take place, calling on the energizing power of the Spirit of God in this temple, you can come get into more. You can get up and say, Lord, I present my body a living sacrifice. It's yours. And when all those things come against you, and they will, you immediately capture those imaginations and thoughts, and you hold on to them, and you bring them into the discipline of the kingdom. That's a secret that's easily seen. And I'm telling you, it can be done. Can be done.
Yes.
And when he gets into this seat of association and has vigor, which is in Hebron, what's he do?
Builds another
altar. And God says, Abe, I love you. And there goes some flesh. I'll leave this because there's so much more. But I'm sharing with you tonight, I know you're going back to different churches. As our brother said this morning, lots of things are happening out there. But you can leave this place, you can walk through these doors and get on the airplanes and in your cars, and I'm telling you, you can cover yourself with an anointing of God.
Yes.
And walk in the Spirit. And be so radically changed that when you get back home, it'll emanate from you and begin to flow out to your family, to the churches that you belong to the people at your job, because your whole attitude will be different.
And the thing that'll bubble up and take over, because you have submitted to the kingdom and to His Spirit, the Holy Ghost will shed abroad in your heart, what?
Love.
You see, I'm not talking about erotic love. I'm not talking about phileo love. I'm not talking about Sturgos love.
I'm talking about agape love. God's love. So what do? Preach? Well, you stand with me tonight.
Hallelujah.
And with your hands raised to God, you make your commitment. You make your vow tonight. Lord, I want you to... Your kingdom is in my temple, or in this temple... This body belongs to you, Lord. You have my spirit. You've given me the Holy Ghost, and that's your kingdom. And that's power to help me discipline my soul, regardless of what happens in my life. And I'll serve you. My attitude will be right. I'll give you the praise. I'll love people. I'll get rid of any resentment. I'll make things right. I'll change my attitude, Lord. And every day, I'll sense your presence and walk in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I'll be something different because, Lord, you'll change me as I allow you to change me, as I submit and obey. I want you tonight to breathe in His presence. I want you tonight, if you have things in your life, I want you to renounce them. I want you to renounce them and to breathe in the presence of God and let God do a deliverance in you. Let God take and minister to you through the power of His Spirit. He's the deliverer. You don't need to have hands laid on you tonight. All you need to do is breathe in His presence. Raise your hands to God. Confess that you need Him, that you want to walk in Him. You've had life, but you don't have abundant life, and you want to sense that abundant life. You want to walk in the Spirit. You want the peace of God. You have peace with God, but you want the peace of God. Because those negative things, the camel rides you. You don't ride the camel. The camel's sitting on you. And you want to reverse that. You don't want to be the tail. You want to be the head. You want to walk with God. You want to walk with God. So begin to ask Him. Begin to cry out tonight. You begin to cry out. If I was needing help, I'd say, help! Lord, help me! And if you need help, then you ask God to help you tonight. And God will, through divine intervention, deliver you and minister to you and bring you life and bring truth to you so that it burns through the fires of your members. Oh, God. Oh, God. Glenn. Hallelujah. 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 As our sister comes and plays on the organ, she'll just play him on the piano. I want you to listen. I'm serious. You're leaving here soon. You get those hands up and you begin to confess to God. You begin to tell God, listen, I grieved your spirit. I have grieved your spirit, Lord. I have lied. I have cheated. I have stolen. I have said things I shouldn't have. I'm bitter. I'm resentful. I've done things to people, Lord. And I want those things made right, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. And I, Lord, if it's something that's entered, the devil has come into me, I want the devil out. If it's anger, if it's violence, if it's lust, whatever it is tonight, you begin to let God deal with you. Because if you don't tonight, then you'll miss what God's trying to do. And I'm telling you, Lot paid the price. Don't pay the price. Reach out by the power of the Holy Ghost. Reach out by the power of the Holy Ghost. And begin to ask God to set you free right now. Begin to ask God to set you free. Praise God, brother. Hallelujah. You and your wife go and lay hands on whomever. Hallelujah. As you felt led of the Holy Ghost, you lay hands on people. Hallelujah. Begin to pray. Begin to cry out. Begin to seek the Lord. Amen. Come on. Begin to cry out to the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. begin to move in the power and the realm of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord, we want to walk in you. Oh, Lord! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Lord! Deliver your people! Deliver your people, Lord! Deliver your people, Lord! Oh, God! Brother, walk through, and if you can help some of them, hallelujah. Brother Speed, if you can help anybody. Brother, we need to just walk through, I guess, and lay hands on them. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, Jesus! 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 Oh, Father! Oh, Father! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! Move in the power of your Spirit, Lord! Confirm the Word with signs following as faith arises, Lord! As faith arises, Lord! And as people grasp it by the Holy Ghost, Lord! Oh, Jesus! Jesus, Jesus! Oh, Jesus, Christ! Hallelujah! 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 Oh, Jesus! Hallelujah, Lord! Hallelujah! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord, have your way! Hallelujah! Jesus, Jesus! Jesus, Jesus! Oh, Father! Move in the power of the Holy Ghost tonight! Hallelujah! 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 Jesus! Oh, Lord! Yes, Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, God!
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.